Satan, demons, dark powers. Brothers and sisters, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We live in a material world, a world filled with stuff, a world filled with creations resulting from an incredible explosion of science, human ingenuity, and technology. Even as Christians, it's easy to lose sight of the spiritual in the midst of all this. Yes, we worship a God that we cannot see, trust in a Saviour that we know lived here on earth but died 2,000 years ago, believe the words of prophets and apostles that passed into history long ago. But the idea that we're surrounded by a spiritual reality, living in the midst of a spiritual battle, is a little hard to connect with for a lot of us. And yet it's clear throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that this is indeed what we're facing. Genesis 3 verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The very first act of Satan in his battle with God for humanity was to deceive us into thinking that we could live outside of God's will. In Job 1 verse 7, we see Satan come from roaming the earth and going back and forth in it to put God's servant Job to the test by taking from him everything God had blessed him with. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. Zechariah 3 verse 1, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him." Mark 1 verse 12, "At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan." 2 Corinthians 11, 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Many mentions of Satan and the spiritual battle that we fight against him. And so Paul exhorts us here in Ephesians 6 verse 10 to put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Peter echoes these words in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." What are these schemes of the devil? Clearly to deceive and tempt and test us, but we need to look deeper into these deceptions and temptations and testing in order to more effectively take our stand against them, in order to be self-controlled and alert. How does Satan deceive us? As we saw in Genesis, the primary deception Satan wants us to believe is that we can ignore God's word, that we can live our lives without him. Essentially, the demon of pride attacks us, encouraging us to believe that we know best, that we're somehow better than the next person. "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." At this point, some of you may be taking exception to my use of the term the demon of pride. However, I think it's important to recognise that Satan clearly has at his disposal a legion of lesser demons that we can encounter throughout the New Testament in particular. These demons knew Jesus and were dealt with by him on numerous occasions. While we're not given specific mention of demons of a particular nature, it's not an unreasonable assumption that if Satan wants to encourage pride in us, he would instruct a demon to do that. Satan deceives us by burdening us with guilt for our sin, making us feel like we're not worthy of coming to God. He stirs up our anger against each other for petty insults or having our rights infringed. He tempts us, inflaming our envy and covetousness by putting before us images of the perfect body, the next door neighbour's renovation, or the next Powerball jackpot. He encourages our laziness and materialism using the latest conveniences of the modern world. Think Uber Eats, next day delivery, and almost constant retail discounting. In these and many other situations, we can see that Satan uses our own sinful natures and the world around us in his schemes for defeating God's efforts to win us and keep us. Hence, Paul encourages us to put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Our defence against Satan and his demons is to put on the full armour of God, as we saw so clearly with Liz's talk to the kids. The belt of truth buckled around our waist, key to defending against Satan's deceptions. Jesus used the term, "I tell you the truth," more than 70 times in the Gospels. He sent us the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. As biblical Christians, we need to know our Bibles front to back and back to front, because this, brothers and sisters, is the truth, as Liz said as well. In the postmodern relativistic world that we live, in which fake news is the latest hit, nearly 79 million results from a Google search, the rock-solid truth in these pages is what we need to defend against the slimy, sneaky lies that Satan throws at us. David preached last week about hearing God's voice and our need to practice listening, to take time being silent before God, and seeing God's answers in the different ways that he speaks. But he also made a point that was relevant to the belt of truth, that we need to be willing to hear the truth. We need to have ears to hear. If God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts of sin, to point out things in us that are not pleasing to him, we must be willing to listen to that, to hear it. We also have to remember that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as Scott prayed as well. 1 John 1:9. The guilt that Satan loves to stir in us when we sin should not keep us from running to the cross, from taking every thought captive to Christ and relying on his grace. The breastplate of righteousness in place. Right living before God is one of our greatest weapons in the battle against Satan. It's important to remember here that our righteousness is from Christ, for there is no one righteous, not even one. But God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We must make every effort to live the way God wants us to seek continuous improvement as Christians, to live lives full of the fruit of the Spirit, for these are anathema to Satan. Righteous living does not mean simply coming to church on Sunday and reading your Bible every day, though. Jesus called out the Pharisees for hypocrisy on several occasions. In Matthew 15, 7 and 8, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And notably again in Matthew 23, where his diatribe concludes with, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" But then in Matthew 5, verse 20, he says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Even Peter was rebuked by Jesus in Mark 8, 33. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." So for all of us, you know, we can't just continue doing what we do and expect that that's righteous living. We need to be looking to improve and to seek new ways to serve God. We must not become caught up in our routines as Christians and allow Satan to blind us to the good that we ought to be doing. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Again, David's sermon from last week bears fruit here, as we must be listening to God's voice in order to be aware of what he's doing. As Jesus himself said in John 5:19, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing." Our prayer must be that God will open our eyes to what he is doing in this place, in this time, and give us the courage to be obedient when he calls us to act, even if that means stepping out of our comfortable lives. We mustn't assume that not doing the wrong thing equates to righteousness, since anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins, from James 4:17. We need to have feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Peace is such a beautiful thing and one that Satan dislikes intensely. We need only look to the constantly warring state of our world to see that a key part of Satan's schemes for our downfall is to incite hatred amongst us. I actually started reading a book this week by Primo Levi, this called If This Is a Man, about his experiences in Auschwitz. And a quote from his preface stood out. "Many people, many nations, can find themselves holding, more or less wittingly, that every stranger is an enemy. For the most part, this conviction lies deep down like some latent infection. It betrays itself only in random, disconnected acts and does not lie at the base of a system of reason. But when this does come about, when the unspoken dogma becomes the major premise in a syllogism, then at the end of the chain, there is the lager. Here is the product of a conception of the world carried rigorously to its logical conclusion. So long as the conception subsists, the conclusion remains to threaten us. The story of the death camps should be understood by everyone as a sinister alarm signal." And we need only look to our treatment of refugees on Manus Island to see that this concept that every stranger is an enemy, the scheme of the devil to drive a wedge between people, is one that our very own Australia has fallen to. We must, in our battle against Satan, have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We must actively show love when we see hatred. We must turn the other cheek and offer our coat as well. And our peace, which Jesus gives, must overflow into every aspect of our lives, whether it's in our parenting, which I know from deep personal experience can provide an easy foothold for Satan to stir up anger, most of which is completely undeserving and unnecessary, or our work, or the sports field, again another aspect of my life in which my experience of white line fever has left me ruining my sinful nature. We have to make every effort to be a people of peace. We must take up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I love this verse as it gives me a real sense of being able to overcome the devil's schemes. The flaming arrows of the evil one, as Liz mentioned too, are things like doubt. Is God really there? Have I sinned too much to come to God? Unforgiveness, holding on to the offences that others commit. Paul refers to this in 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Division, particularly in the church, seeing the things that we're not happy with, grumbling about the music being too loud or too soft or too modern or too old. We all know the deal. These things are flaming arrows that we can extinguish with the shield of faith. And remember, a strong faith is like a strong muscle. It does not become strong without exercise. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith and hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Remember, salvation is the free gift of God, not something we've earned. We can be confident in our salvation. For as Paul says in Romans, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The helmet of salvation protects our head from the devil's schemes, keeping us from the doubt that he wants us to sow. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the weapon that we see Jesus use so effectively in his temptation in the desert, where every time Satan tempted him, Jesus responded with scripture. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, from Hebrews 4:12. We can take up the sword in our battle against Satan and actively work to resist the devil. For if we resist the devil, he will flee, James 4:7. When I said earlier that reading our Bible every day does not make us righteous, that doesn't mean it's not important. We must know the word well enough so that we can discern Satan's attacks and rebuke him. Finally, the importance of prayer in our battle with Satan, in taking our stand against the devil's schemes, cannot be understated. For it is not our power that we fight with. It's not our armour that we put on. It's not our wisdom or grace that gives us an edge in our battle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's God at work in us and through us who is fighting the battle, and God ultimately who wins. Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Death has been defeated on the cross, and we will rise again to live with God. In the meantime, though, our task is to stand firm then, praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. We need to live righteous lives, full of truth and peace, using the shield of faith to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we need to be looking for ways to take the battle to the devil, as Jesus sent out the 72, who returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." From Luke 10, 17 and 18. Let's start 2018 on our knees before God, asking him to equip us for the battle, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear where he wants us to take up the fight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are an awesome God. Thank you that you are mighty and powerful, that you are greater than he who is in the world. And Father, we come before you this morning and we ask for your help. We ask for your Spirit to be at work in us, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear where you're at work in the world around us. Help us, Lord, to take up the battle against Satan and his demons, to take back ground from this dark, sinful world, to take people back, to love them, to show peace, to be people of truth and righteousness, so that we can play our part in the battle against Satan, and that we can give you all of the glory and see people come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.